say when I come here, I just love being here, and I feel it's like a second home. And I see many of you that I have prophesied over the years, and I'm really excited with Pastor Rob asking me to share how to hear the voice of God, because there's nothing more exciting than to know that God speaks to you, that the living God, the amazing God who flung the stars into the sky, wants to and is talking to you and I every day. And I've been teaching my little grandson, one of my grandsons, he's 11, to hear the voice of God. And I took him outside recently, about 3 weeks ago, and I said, Jack, many of you know Jack's journey. My daughter adopted him at 2 years old from Taipei, and he's 11 now, little champion. But I took him outside and I said, Jack, have a look at the sky. Look up at the sky right now. Look at all that. I said, that's how big God's brain is. And you have access to the mind of Christ, the thoughts of God. We have to ask the right questions, which is, what don't I know about this situation that you want to show me? How are you looking at this situation? What do I need to understand? And so I'm excited about this morning, and also about tonight. Come for tonight. People in the Bible, we see a change through encounters. Just one moment for the woman at the well. Just one moment for Jacob when he's wrestling and he's realizing it's a God encounter. God changes his name, releases him into destiny. Moments will change your life, amen? And I have to admit that I actually went recently to a conference, a Saturday actually. I was keen to hear the speaker, so I actually flew Saturday morning to Sydney, got an Uber to the conference. I had ordered an Uber to take me back to the airport at 5 o'clock that night to catch a 7:30 flight home. So I was keen to hear what was being said. And so the worship team were playing, and it was wonderful. But then they kept playing. And I'm thinking, another song. I came to hear the speaker. Another song. And then I realized, I said, oh, I'm so sorry, God. I'm so sorry that I wanted to hurry past worshiping you for the main event. And I said, I'm so sorry, God. I love you. And I just relaxed, forgot about. And as I began to engage and go deeper, then I had an encounter with God that was so powerful. I saw a picture of his feet that were on fire. And basically he said to me, the circumstances you're dealing with, I'm about to walk into the midst of them and destroy every stronghold, every problem. And I'm about to take you up to the Mount of Transfiguration because I want to take my people higher. And as I experienced that and engaged in that, I could have gone home then, having been so impacted by an encounter with God that I was trying to hurry past. So I encourage you to come tonight, come and encounter God, and because he wants to take us higher, amen? So he's wanting to take us higher. Well, I want to say thank you again to Pastor Rob and Denise. Once again, it's so exciting to be back here, and I love catching up on, you know, grandkids news and all sorts of things like that. But I'm here to speak about hearing the voice of God, which is the most exciting thing, the most exciting activity that, you know, is in my life and hopefully in yours. And I want to just say thank you to all the ladies for yesterday. My goodness, you guys know how to put on a spread. It was outstanding. The long tables with candles, with amazing food. Yes, amazing food. Cheesecake was amazing. It just was a beautiful day. So thank you so much for everybody that was involved there. And just once again, thank you to the musicians this morning. It's just something about the worship in this house that I just feel so undone. And I remember years ago, I can't remember what year I came, and it's something that impacts me every time I come. It's only, not the only, I do cry at other worship places, but I'm often moved with tears here. And I remember one morning you were singing, "Jesus, what a beautiful name." And it just undid me because of the anointing that's on the worship in this house. So I want to just encourage you how you've pressed in for worship. It's amazing. And so whoever can remember a movie, it was years ago now, called Frequency. Yeah, was that with Jim Cavalli too? Yeah, the guy that played Jesus. By the way, I did get to go to Bethel and I saw Jesus there. He was in the Hebrews coffee shop. The guy from Chosen, you know, I turned around, I said, "It's Jesus." And there was a few of us that were doing that. "There's Jesus." He looked up. He had a lady with him and I saw them jump up and they walked quickly away. I would have liked to get Jesus' autograph, but anyway, I wasn't going to be that pathetic. But in this movie, it's about, for those of you, it's a spoiler alert here, but probably because it's probably 20 years old, you won't watch that movie. But it's the story of a young man, Jim Cavalli, whose father, many years ago, 25 years ago, firefighter got killed. And so Jim Cavalli is a struggling young man by this time in his late 20s, I think. But he has an old ham radio and he's mucking around with this ham radio. And somehow this electrical storm hits and it actually hits the electrical wires on this ham radio. And all of a sudden, he starts to hear a voice and he's tuning into that frequency and he actually hears his father's voice across time. And it's like he starts to talk to his father who had died many years ago. And so it was a sci-fi movie. But out of it, his life changed. And the plan of his life that had gone downhill totally changed and reversed many of the decisions in his life, and he had a relationship with his father that continued and changed his life. I want to say this, that God is speaking to you and I all the time. We don't know the frequency sometimes. We haven't tuned into the frequency. And he is always talking to us. In John 16, he says these words, "I have so much to tell you that you couldn't even handle it. I have so much to tell you." I know if I go overseas, particularly if it's Fiji or you know, this time in Bethel and some different places where I'm gone for a couple of weeks, Jeff picks me up at the airport and I'll go, oh my gosh, there was these amazing things that happened, blah, 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 blah. And he'll say, "Look, don't tell me everything in one go." Okay. I'm bursting and this happened and that happened. And blah, 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 blah. No, no, no. Don't tell me all at once. Okay. And it's like God saying, "I've got so much to tell you." And he begins to teach them about the Holy Spirit, the voice of God. And so I want us to just turn to John 16. And just look at a couple of scriptures. I'm going to be teaching this morning, and I only have 3 points that I'm going to teach on. Pastor Rob has been brilliant in helping me trim my messages. And I think in the old days it was like almost like a huge clock this big. I know. Old dog, new tricks. I sent someone a birthday card with a picture of a dog with a food bowl on its head. Old dog, new tricks. And so that's me today. And so if we turn to John, 16. And we'll see that scripture where Jesus is telling them, actually, let's go to John 16, verse 7. He says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it's to your advantage that I go away." So they have been walking with Jesus for 3 years and learning and loving this man that has come into their life and healed the sick and loved them and told them about salvation and eternity and that he was the Savior. And he was just the most amazing man. And now he's telling them, it's actually to your advantage that I leave. And they're trying to get their heads around it. What do you mean? How could it be better if you leave? He said, if I go, he said, if I don't go, the helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And we go on further where he does say, verse 12, I have many things I still want to say to you. I have so many things that you couldn't handle it all at once. But he, the Spirit of truth, has come. And all the things I want you to know, he's actually going to take those things. He will not speak of himself, and he will guide you into all truth. He will speak my words that he hears. He is going to tell you of things to come. He's going to be my voice. And so you can imagine if Jesus decided to stay and people got saved, we'd be waiting for Jesus to come and speak. And even if he could translate, you know, teleportation. Oh, he's over in France dealing with something there, and then he's going to Israel, and then he's coming to Mackay. Great, we'll see Jesus. But he worked out something more amazing. I'm one of those helicopter mums and grandmums that I'm always wanting to know the kids are doing well and the grandkids are doing well. If I could have devised a way to get under their skin so that I could be with them 24/7, hello, I'm here. If you need help, I'm here. You haven't rung me? That's as close as I get. Well, Jesus devised a way. He devised a way that he could be with you 24/7 and with you 24/7 and with my grandson Jack 24/7 all day, every day, every night with each one of you. And our kids don't get a junior Holy Spirit. They get the presence of God with them 24/7. Wanting to guide them, wanting to love them, wanting to show them the way. But we need to know how to lean in and listen. I was in Dubbo last weekend, and the young pastor of the INC Church, he's a lawyer, Sri Lankan young man, good young man. And he said, people pay me a lot of money for advice as a lawyer. And then they argue with me. And we can laugh at that, but God's the creator of the universe and he wrote only one book. Amen? And he is an expert. He has got more PhDs than the PhDs. He's got the masters. He's actually the master of the universe. And he's got a clue about how we're to live our life. And he's devised a way through his Holy Spirit that he can be with you morning, noon, and night. That he could wash your feet every day, that he could be the voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk you in it. And he's speaking to you and I every day, but we have a choice. Are we going to hear it? Because oftentimes it'll be a challenge. You ready to get out of the boat? Nope, bing, just ignored that one. You should ring up that friend and go and visit them. Bing, I haven't had enough time, just missed it again. And he is speaking to us so much. And so when we have a prophetic word, most times it'll be a confirmation. But if we haven't known how to hear his voice, it's hard for that prophetic word to land. Amen? And so I think that this is great to be able to just, I want to give you three ways. And of course, there are many different ways, not ways, but you know, when we're teaching about hearing God's voice, and there are issues with the mind of Christ, in fact, doubt and fear, and realizing that the voice of shame, condemnation, and fear are not of God. That is not of God. And so we're not teaching that. I just want to give you the three key ways that you can turn on that frequency, immediately start to receive what God is wanting to say. Amen? He said, I've got so much to tell you. And how sad that we would rush past him in the morning. You see, one of the words for prayer closet, when you go into your prayer closet. It got translated out of bed chamber. But the original translation is safety deposit box. Did you stop by the safety deposit box of God for the revelation, for the daily needs, for the direction for the day? Or do we say, you can sit this one out, God, I've got it covered. And so, number one, frequency of the Word of God is by faith reading the Word of God. Amen? That the three words we have for the Word of God, which is graphe, the text, logos, the spoken, speaking Word of God, and rhema, which is the word for that particular time, for that particular moment, right on the now. So the Word of God, as we're reading the Word of God, the Word of God, the Bible says it's God breathed. There's no other book He's breathed into. But when you read the Word of God, you're literally drawing on the heart of God. And He quickens the Word of God. He stirs it in your heart. He'll speak to you. In fact, David, who was a fanatic about God, God said he was a man after my own heart. He was the greatest king in the Old Testament. When he wrote Psalm 119, it has 176 verses. Longest chapter in the whole Bible. And it's all about, I love your word, your precepts are a way of life. You know, your word is a lamp to my feet. I value your word. He was a fanatic about the word of God. And that, you know, we say he's courageous and he's a champion. Yes, he's brave, all those things. But he was passionate for the word of God. And you might say, well, look, I'm not actually into reading that much, and I find it hard. I want to say there's so many ways we can listen to the Word of God on Audible. You can get Bible apps. There's one called Give Him 15 by Dutch Sheets, and he usually takes scripture each day. And there's lots of ways that we can actually listen to the Word of God. But even if you've just got 10 minutes, you can open the Word and just meditate on a scripture. I actually heard a story of this young girl that when she was almost five, she was kidnapped from a jungle in South America, a rural area, and taken deep into the jungle by these very evil men and dumped there. And she was almost five. And so she is right in miles into the jungle, and she's sitting there and she's just crying, wondering when a mother, someone's going to come for her. And she cries all day and all night, and she eventually crawls up in some hollow in a tree and has to deal with bugs crawling all over and all sorts of horrible things. And the next day she's still, you know, crying, and this goes on. And finally this family of monkeys start to come up and hit at her and things like that. And they realise that she's not dangerous, she's not going to attack them. And so they begin to leave bits of food beside her. And as a little girl, she remembered a phrase of her mother's, which was monkey see, monkey do. So she watched these monkeys. She watched what they ate. And when they dropped bananas and stuff like that, she ate that. And so ultimately, she got, as it were, welcomed amongst the juvenile monkeys. And she followed them. There was an amazing amount of fruit in the forest, but she just ate what they ate. And then the older monkeys, kept their distance and sort of eyed her with suspicion. But the juvenile ones gathered her in. Over time, she followed them and eventually learned to climb trees. She tried to sleep up in the canopy where they would sleep, but she fell out a couple of times and injured herself. And so gradually, she learnt the sounds they made, the sounds when they were in danger, the sounds when they were calling out to each other. And she basically lost any English she had. And as she kept trying to learn to climb the trees, her feet became quite leathery, and over months and then years, she walked, all fours. And so she lost all her language and would just make the sounds that the monkeys made. And it was quite an incredible story. But she was in that situation till she was about 10. lived with the monkeys, and you can YouTube it. It's on Google. It's a documentary on it. It's a book she wrote called The Girl With No Name. But while she's up in the trees with the monkeys, one day she sees something glittering on the ground, and she scampers down the trees and she picks it up, and it's a broken mirror. And she looks in this mirror and sees two eyes staring back at her. And, you know, and it so shocked her, because she's not a monkey, you know. And because she'd been there years and years. And in the older monkeys had gathered her in. But and it changed something, it shifted something, because at times there were hunters that would come and sometimes kill some of the monkeys, so she just did what the other monkeys did and scampered away. But she got such a shock. And so these two hunters, one was a woman, came along. And because that changed her whole perception, she started to follow them, and she took a hold of the woman's hand. And it's a long story, but ultimately she comes out of there, and ultimately down the track she finds the Lord, and ultimately meets her husband in church. And today she has children and grandchildren, and the thing she loves to do most is climb trees with her grandchildren. But anyway, this is called the mirror of God's Word. And there's actually a mirror Bible. And life is a jungle. And when I look back, and as Pastor Rob said, you know, I've come from a very sort of dysfunctional, rough background. And I can remember before I met the Lord going to a party as an older teenager. And I don't know what I had been drinking or taking, but I was really, really, drunk or whatever, and I decided to take someone's car. I didn't know how to drive. I'd never learned to drive, but I see you put the key in and you press that accelerator. And I went careering all over these streets. I was just, you know, so amazing. I didn't kill someone or hurt somebody. I careered all over the place until I suppose it conked out because I wasn't in gear or who knows what, but I got out and I didn't know where I was. So I thought I'll have to go to the main street, walk towards the main street and hail a taxi, which I did. So I got the taxi home, and the taxi driver probably thought, what on earth, because I didn't have my purse or anything like that. And I just said to him, hang on a minute and I'll pay you. And I got out of the taxi, I climbed in the front window like a monkey and I came out and I paid the taxi driver. But I thank God someone told me about Jesus when I looked into the mirror of that word and found out I wasn't living in a jungle trying to just get by and do whatever, that I had a purpose, that He'd created me in His image, that He had a plan for my life, that He loved me. And that many, many years later, I want to say He has been faithful. And it's gone from grace to grace, and the anchor holds within the veil, and God is good. And now children and grandchildren later, I see the goodness of God because of the Word of God. I saw what my life was meant to be. And today we have a choice. We can still go and make our own decisions and try and do it on our own and join the jungle out there, or realize the awesome plan God's got in His Word. And He will talk to you through that Word every day. Amen? Number one, the Word of God. Number two, hearing God's voice. Number two is one of the other areas is dreams and visions. Dreams and visions. So we see in Acts 14 when, I think it's Acts 14, Acts 16, verse 6. Now when they had gone, this is Acts 16, verse 6. Now when they had gone through fire, Redcliffe, and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. After they went there, then they went to Mysia and they tried to go to Bithynia, but the Spirit did not permit them. So he's trying to find the will of God. We'll go, no, nope, feel there's a closed door there. Got the check of the Spirit not to go there. Sometimes we don't know straight away what God's plan is for our life, but he's stepping out. And then the Bible says he has a vision. And it could be an open-eyed vision. The Bible speaks about a vision also being something in your imagination. So I'd have to look up what that meant there. But it says he had a vision in the night. And sometimes they interchange vision and dream. So in the night, he has a vision and he sees a man from Macedonia saying, come over here and help us. And so that was the call of God to bring the gospel to Europe through a vision. God wants to lead us spiritually, amen? He wants to speak to us in dreams. When we realize how important sometimes our dreams are, keep a pen and paper by your bed. I used to only have a dream maybe once every 3 or 4 months because I wasn't necessarily aware of it. When I realized that God speaks through dreams, I began to pray, Lord, speak to me in the night. Job 33 says, God speaks one way, then another in a vision, in a dream in the night, when a man would put his head on the pillow to warn them, to bring instruction. I got asked many years ago to pastor a church. And I had been involved with this ministry for many years and part of the local church. They were people I knew. And they said that we're planting this new church and we feel like God's told us that you're to lead it. And I thought, whoa, this is exciting. It's something that was very inspirational. And I'd love to, you know, I love leading people. I love encouraging people. And anyway, that night I had a dream. And in the dream, I dreamt I drove my car up a high cliff, and I was stuck. And in the morning, I woke up and I thought, oh, that's weird, but couldn't be for me. Because when the pastor had asked me, I said, oh, that'd be awesome. I will pray about it. But everything in my demeanor said, yes, I'm in. But I just thought, I'll pray about it. But it was more cursory than really committed to it. And then the next night I had another dream, and in that dream I was driving in a car and we were going across a bridge, and then all of a sudden I realized I was in the back of a convertible and nobody was driving, and the car was starting to veer into the oncoming traffic, and even I could read between the lines there, and my heart sank. I said, when that person rang up, I feel it's great you're going to go ahead with that, but I'm not the person to lead it. And they said, in the prophetic, we've been taught the first impression is usually right, which is true. But immediately the Lord reminded me that when David wanted to build God a house, Nathan's first impression was, yay, do all that was in thine heart. This is a great idea. Build a house, plant the church. But God visited Nathan in the night and said, tell David you missed it. He's not to build the house because his anointing is for warfare. His son Solomon will build the house. So I was able to say, actually it is, but the exception to the rule, which there are sometimes, is that scripture. I'm not to build the house. And so that saved me a disastrous choice, because a couple of years later that ministry actually folded and the wheels fell off somewhat, and God protected me from getting on board. But I had to be willing to listen, because everything within me was saying, yeah, this sounds exciting. I'd love to do that. But God very clearly spoke to me. And so that dream in the night, take notice of your dreams, and God will speak to us through those dreams. Number three, another area that God will speak to us, and of course I forgot to mention that Joseph was warned in a dream, take Mary to Egypt. Herod's trying to kill all the male children. So on the strength of a dream, he moved his whole family to Egypt to be protected. So God is wanting to speak to us in many different ways. He has so much he wants to tell us, amen? And so the third area I want to talk about, that frequency, is the audible and the inner voice of God. And very few people that I've spoken to have heard the audible voice of God, but we see it in the Bible with Samuel, And when he was called, name was called Samuel, Samuel, you'd think that when God spoke audibly, it would be thundering. It would be unusual. It would be amazing. But he actually went running into Eli and said, "Did you call me?" Just sounded really ordinary. Sounded like Eli's voice. And Eli says, "No, I didn't call you. Go back to bed." He hears it again, "Samuel, Samuel." He goes running into Eli. Eli says, "No, I didn't call you. Go back to bed." And then the third time, God persisted. Said, "Samuel." And when he went into Eli this time, he realized the Lord was calling him. And sometimes people hear the audible voice of God. I heard the story of a man called Peter Marshall. And he actually is a man of God. And he was walking late one night in an area just in the dark. He'd been walking and praying. And all of a sudden, he heard Peter. And he thought, "Someone called my name?" And then he just kept walking. And then he heard louder, "Peter!" And he knew someone called his name. So he fell to his knees, because he sensed it was God. And as he put his hands forward, there was just thin air. He was right near a big quarry, and he was about to step to his death. I want to say that the voice of God, the inner voice of God, as we learn to hear it, God can cause us to make the right decision, to avoid danger. And so the still small voice of God, where God joins the internal dialogue of your heart, and it will sound very much like your own thoughts, but much more intelligent. That's a clue for me. I just had an intelligent thought, must be God. Sometimes God's voice will sound like Pastor Rob's. Or Pastor Denise's. When I was born again, when I was first born again, I used to listen to the Bible, the King James Version by Alexander Scorby. Very English speaking. So when God spoke to me, it'd be Alexander Scorby in King James, "Thou, thee." Because that's how I had planted it. Because like the Lord likes to use what he wrote. Amen. And so the still small voice, God is wanting for us to listen, incline our ear. I was actually, was with Jeff. I won't go into the whole detail, but somehow I ran into a yucca tree. And I have been very careful about not tripping and not being clumsy and all this. But I was talking to him like this, and I went straight into a yucca tree that pierced right into my ear. Yeah, I know. You know, they're quite stiff. And I thought, oh, my ear went fuzzy. I thought, oh, gosh, I could have pierced my eardrum there. Oh, that was awful. And so it was a Sunday where there's no doctors. So I rang up Monday. Looked online. Sorry, my doctor wasn't there. So I thought, I really got to get this checked out because my ear was buzzing and going fuzzy. And I thought also, too, it's near your brain and I need to hang on to all the brain cells I've got left. Praise the Lord. And so I went to the doctor's and I had booked in for 8 o'clock and she said, because I said, I looked online, my doctor's not on this morning, she's not on. They said, oh, well, actually, we messed up. She is on today, but we looked at the appointment books. We can't see you till 12. So I was already dressed out of the house. Normally Monday or Tuesday morning, Monday if I'm home and Tuesday if I just got home the night before. Monday I usually go shopping, get the groceries. I'm boring. I have the same routine. And so I thought, 8 o'clock, I could go home, wait till 12, come back, or I could go and do my grocery shopping. I thought, I'm going to go and do my grocery shopping. So I usually go to the one place in the big shopping centre, which is near Coles, and right next to Coles there's a coffee club. And because I have a card, I can get 2 for 1. So I'm being a cheapskate that I am. I go and get my 2 for 1 after I've got my groceries. And so I'm driving down to the shopping centre, which is a big one, and as I'm coming in, I get an impression, just a thought. She'd go to Kmart. I thought, I don't need anything at Kmart. I usually go to Kmart when I'm with Madeline. And I had this impression, go to Kmart, and I thought, oh, that's a silly thought. And I drove to Coles, right up that end of the shopping centre, parked my car, got my bags out for groceries. And as I'm out of the car, I hear a sense. I just sensed Kmart. And I thought, what the heck? Anyway, I put the bags back in the car, got in my car, drove over to the other side of the shopping centre, up the ramp, and went to Kmart. I went, you know, got into Kmart, and I thought, well, there's nothing I really need here. But what happened was I thought, oh, well, I might as well just slow down, fill in time, have a look around Kmart, bought myself some pyjamas. Looked around and then I kind of slowed down more and I came out and just wandered around up the different parts of the shopping centre and looking around. And by the time I got to Coles, it was 10 o'clock. So I went in and I got my groceries and then I went right next door to Coffee Club. And because I had the trolley, I had to sit outside with the tables outside. And so I got my 2-for-1 and so I was sitting there, I rang Jeff, I rang my sister, had my coffees. And all of a sudden, as I get up to go, drop the groceries off and go to the doctor's, I hear a voice behind me saying, is that you, Faelene? Is that Faelene Sparks? I turned and I looked around and I didn't really recognise anyone at the table. There was 4 people. So there was I have to be careful saying an older guy because he's probably younger than me, but anyway. An older guy says, oh, actually, I'm so-and-so. You preached at our church years ago. I'm down in Adelaide. You know, I'm involved in ministry and church down there. Oh, great, hi. And then another young man was saying, he said, actually, I'm running a church in such and such and you prophesied the name change we've got years ago. That's, that's good. And then they had 2 younger youth ministers from Filipino. And I said, well, that's great, hi. And then one of them said, we're just praying for so-and-so here. Do you think you'd have a word for him? And I thought, oh, well, why not? I sat down, pulled out a chair, and I just said, if you want to get your phones out, I'll pray for all of you. And so I sat there in the coffee club and prophesied over these 4 pastors. And then it was getting time to go. And as I was leaving, one of them said, you know, let's get a selfie. And one of them, the younger guy who had the name change of his church, he was still had his head down and he was crying and God was still touching him. And as I left, bye-bye, you know, and I'm thinking, God, if you hadn't have slowed me down, they would have been long gone. If you hadn't have actually changed my focus, and for some reason God wanted at least one of them prayed for. God wanted me to. And so many times I realise I miss it because of the still small voice. Because God wants to teach us in the little things. So when the big things happen, we go, I know that voice. I know that voice. Could I have the musicians come? Because I believe that as we read this last scripture in Matthew 16, we're going to turn to Matthew 16. And in Matthew 16, the Lord has been training the disciples and they're actually going, verse 13 of Matthew 16, when Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he said to the disciples, who do men say that I am? And they said, some say you're John the Baptist, some say you're Elijah, others say Jeremiah, one of the prophets. And then of the 160 questions Jesus asked in the Bible, this is the most important one, he said, but who do you say that I am? Who do you say that I am? And Peter, because Jesus is saying, I hope one of you is starting to get this. I hope one of you gets this. And Peter says, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, flesh and blood did not reveal this. You didn't get it through deductive reasoning. You're starting to receive revelation. You're starting to hear the voice of God. You're starting to be able to commune directly with God. And upon this rock of revelation, I'm going to be able to build a church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against a church that's walking in unity and in hearing God take them forward. I was in Dubai, been doing some revival, just some meetings, sorry, in Ireland, and the rest of the team were going on to Croatia. I was going home, and so I was in Dubai and I had to wait there for a change of planes. And I had my bag on a trolley and I was discouraged because I had wanted to see more souls saved in Ireland. We'd had some results, but and now I'm in the middle of an airport where there are many hundreds of men and women of a different religion with burqas and full, of that religion. And I'm thinking, Lord, these beautiful people, how are we going to reach them? And I'm kind of just discouraged, walking, leaning on my trolley. And I hear those words, but who do you say that I am? And I stopped in my thinking, but who do you say that I am? I thought, that's the question you ask the disciples, that you ask Peter. And I said in my heart, you're the Son of the living God. You're the Saviour of the world. And he said, that's all you need to know. I'll take care of this. You just remember who I am. You remember I'm the Saviour. You remember I'm the one who loves this harvest. I've got plans, amen? Don't forget who I am in the midst of your circumstances. Don't forget that I'm the Saviour of the world, but I'm the lover of your soul. I'm the one who has a great plan for your life. And he would say to us today, who do you say that I am? Because if he is the Lord and Saviour of our life, the guide and the leader, the leading of the Holy Spirit needs to be first and foremost. And I'm preaching to myself this morning. Because he wants to lead us every day. He wants to train us in the little things. When he says, ring so-and-so, I don't have time, bing, just missed it again. Stop and talk to that person. Just start a conversation. Well, I don't think they'd want to talk to me, bing, missed it again. And so God is wanting to speak to us about our own lives. And he's saying to you, and I have so much I want to talk to you about. Can you tune into the frequency of my voice? Be still and know that I am God. And we suck at resting. We suck at being still because we live in the most distracted society that's ever been. We have busy lives and we have all sorts of media devices and communication devices 24/7. We can be distracted, but we can sit and listen to God, turn into the master of the universe and download the most incredible plans and words. Yes, there's challenges there. Yes, he's going to tell us to step out of the boat, but what a life of adventure, amen? Can we just stand right now? Thank you, Lord. Today, I shared about some of the crazy things that I got up to before I thank God I met the Lord. Today, I'd probably be a statistic, hitchhiking at night, all sorts of crazy things. But I thank God I looked into the mirror of his word. I found out that there's a Saviour who loved me. That I was created by a loving God whose intention was always to put man and woman in a garden and to journey with them every day communicating, every day talking with them. Jesus didn't come to start a religion. He came to find the lost, save those that were always meant to be his children. And today, with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're here today and you're visiting and maybe you've been to church, maybe you've raised in a religion, but you've never met the living God. The excitement of knowing that the creator of the universe is real and he wants a personal relationship with you. That you're the precious, chosen, cherished child of God that he wants to walk with every day. And if that's you today, with no one looking around, and you would like to ask Jesus into your heart, to give your life to Christ, to begin this journey of knowing the greatest Father you could ever know, have the Saviour of the world and be led by the Holy Spirit. If that's you today, I just want you to slip up your hand till I see it, and I'm just going to get you to put it down. Just give me a wave, that's all you need to do. But what you're doing is you're saying yes to God, yes to knowing Him, yes to beginning that journey. And God bless you, darling, that's awesome. Put your hand down. Anyone else here today that you've never had the opportunity to realize that it's not about religion, it's about knowing the living God, hearing His voice, walking in the blessing of God, having His protection, and one day stepping into eternity to be with Him forever. Anyone else before we pray this prayer? He said, if you accept me before men, I'll accept you before my Father in heaven. But if you're embarrassed by me, you deny me. He's wanting to reach out to hearts today. So we're going to pray a prayer right now. And if you didn't raise your hand, but you want to pray this prayer and you want to speak directly to God today, let's pray together. Dear Lord Jesus, I open up the door of your life, my life, and I ask you to come in, to be my Lord and to be my Saviour. Thank you for dying on the cross just for me. I receive you now. And thank you, Lord, that you said I could be born again. And thank you, Lord, that you belong to me and I belong to you. And you said, I'll never, never, never leave you. And I'll never forsake you. Amen, amen, amen. I just want to pray for Pastor Rob and Denise as they're just standing there. And when I was just praying for the church and for you both, I heard the Lord say that I am releasing new keys, because this is going to be a season where doors are going to open. I'm releasing keys of breakthrough, keys of authority. And this will be a house of generations that is now being extended on the right and on the left. For there is a fresh commissioning and a raising up of sons and daughters that will have sons and daughters. But there's even a third generation that's emerging. And there's a surge to emerge, and the word over this church is bursting forth. But this is a season there's a bursting forth. And even as you've dug wells, wells of revival, wells of healing, wells of breakthrough, I feel like the Lord is saying, now you're going to see spontaneous wells. God says, I'm taking you into a season where wells you haven't had to dig, vineyards you haven't had to plant, that this will be a house of the Father's blessing. And this will be a place where many families will gather. And God would say to you, it's just like when there was noise abroad that there was bread afresh in Bethlehem. Many are seeking fresh bread in the city and round about, and people have got a hunger and thirst for the fresh and new thing that I'm doing in this house, for I'm doing a new thing. And it will break forth speedily. And the Lord would say, son and daughter, the next 3 years, God says, the next 3 years are going to be a culmination of the past 30 and beyond. God says the rest of your years will be the best of your years. So get ready for favor, favor, favor. And what you thought was sunset years, actually sunrise years. For you're going to see miracles, signs and wonders like never before. And it will be the norm. It will be the norm of miracles bursting and breaking out. Generations bursting forth. That this is a place of a bursting out of the sons and daughters. And you will see the travail of your souls and be satisfied. So I feel like the next 3 years are going to be crucial and jam-packed with God's favor, plan and blessing. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. I felt, if you could just be seated for a moment. There's some people that God wants to just really release favor over. And if you're involved in business, If you're involved in some area of financial endeavor, and also if you need a financial breakthrough, I want you just to stand to your feet, because I heard the Lord say that I'm going to prosper businesses, but I'm also going to release prosperity in a greater way than ever before. And I feel like God is going to release breakthroughs and miracles in finances. So Father, right now you see these people standing. Lord, I thank you today. They're in the house of blessing. They're in the house of the Father's blessing. That the Lord would say, surely the blessing of the Lord makes rich and adds no sorrow. And God says, even as you've said, I will decrease, get ready for my increase. It's not only going to be in my presence, but my increase is going to be in your finances. It's going to be even in your appliances. Someone here, it's going to begin with a new fridge, but it's going to be God adding and updating and upgrading many things in your house. In fact, you're going to get a new house. But this is the time when you're going to see that I own the cattle on 1,000 hills. There's no lack in me, and I'm not glorified in poverty. But God would say this day that you will prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers in the understanding of my goodness. For I'm a good, good Father who wants to release goodness over your life. So I'm canceling debts. I'm breaking off, even where there's someone here and it's a crucial situation. And God says, get ready, for there's a divine reversal being released right now. And I'm releasing a hand of prosperity. And I see a couple that you're believing for a situation where you're actually buying a house, and that's going to be released. It's going to be released. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. You can be seated. You can be seated. If you're a family here and you have children still at school, I want you to stand right now. If you're a family person, if you're a married couple, if you're a single mom, single dad, I felt like God is going to do something absolutely precious for families. And there's a scripture that says, I will be the God of all the families of the earth. The clans. I'm a family God, and I feel like God is moving in families. And I heard the Lord say, I'm rolling away the burdens, I'm rolling away the pressures, I'm rolling away the reproach of the enemy that's saying, well, where are the breakthroughs? Where are the blessings? So I want you just to lift your hands right now. The Lord says, get ready for even not only upgrades, but God says, I'm going to update some prayers and the things that you've been praying for many years and even through many tears. But the Lord says, get ready, for I'm zealous and jealous over my word. And I watch over that word to perform it, from releasing my hand of favor. And even as the Spirit hovered over the face of the waters, I'm hovering over families, and I'm bringing you into a new season of joy. Your children will flourish in the land. Your children will excel in the land. I see someone who's concerned about a primary school age child and that's having some struggles. And I just hear the Lord say, what has seemed like an obstacle will actually be a blessing, because I feel like there's a new ability for learning. It's almost like God is just anointing a pathway, a neurological pathway to excel. I see a spirit of excellence. In fact, I see that coming over children here today. Father, I thank you for the excellent spirit. I see God's doing something very precious in marriages here. He's restoring marriages in a great way. Father, I just thank you for that restoration of marriages. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen. You can be seated. Now, the other area I felt like God was releasing a challenge is in the area of being involved in the local church. And one of the things that I love to do is prophesy over people. But there is a pathway of seeing that prophetic word outworked. And one of the ways is to serve. And are we willing to, a healthy salvation is one that says this: Jesus, you're amazing. You've done all this for me. How can I bless your house? And so who knows that when you're teaching Sunday school, when you're picking up someone for home group or going to a prayer meeting, that one day you'll be leading that prayer meeting, one day that you'll be leading that church, one day you'll be leading a ministry, one day you'll be stepping into an area where God will entrust you with authority. And Jesus grew in favor with God and man. And it's not enough to be clever in the word or to know a lot of stuff if we don't know how to love people, if we're not prepared to go the second and third mile, if we won't stoop down to the lowly and lift them up, if we won't stop for the single mum. It's not enough to grow this way. We need to grow that way, so that no matter where God puts you, you'll be able to relate, you'll be able to flow, you'll be able to bless. Amen? And so I know this, that sometimes with mums and dads working, both working with jobs and lots of schedules, I know even with my own daughter, when she said, "Mum, I want to be involved, but I'm working, Kane's working, we've got kids and we've got programs." And I said, "Well, you know, you could possibly just go on a roster. Maybe just on the door once a month. You could just go on a roster Sunday school. And just for your benefit, that you could feel like you're on board. You're part of, you're on team. You're connected. You're in relationship." And so she went and she signed kids in at Sunday school and they got involved, and it just does something that nothing else can. Because while I'm a free agent and I can come and go and I'll do a little bit of blessing here and I'll help out there, but I don't want to be locked in. It's actually the Lord I want to serve. I want to be a servant. I want to be involved. And so today is a challenge, because as Pastor Rob said, I've prophesied of many people here, but it needs to land somewhere. It needs to have a process of growing with favor with men as well as God. So if you're here today and this isn't a, we've got someone signing on the dotted line as you walk out, but just in your heart, you say, "Lord, I'm not sure if I've got a lot of time, but I really want to serve you. I want to be a builder in your church. I want to be one who's part of the answer. I don't want to just come in and have a bit of a smorgasbord and go off." And I'm not knocking that, but I want you to know, if you want to quicken and have a fast track in destiny, serving is the fast track. So if today, it's not Uncle Sam that needs you, but there is an enlisting. David had his mighty men. He had his royal guard. He had his powerful men that were named. I said, these guys, they gave themselves wholeheartedly. Those ones are wholehearted. Today, if you want to just say, "Lord, I'm not quite sure how it's going to fit in, but I want to be wholehearted. I want to be on board. I want to be serving you however you lead me." If that's you, I just want you to stand to your feet right now. You're not committing yourself to me. You're not committing yourself to a person, but you're committing yourself to God. You're saying, "I'm not quite sure what that's going to look like, but God, I'm on board. Boots and all. No holes barred. No holes barred." Praise God. Praise the Lord. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Father, I just thank you for this church that is full of volunteers. It says those who would volunteer. Deborah's song. And she says, "Thank you, God, for all those who volunteered in the day of battle, who are prepared to be in boots and all. I thank you for all those ones who are already just so connected in serving you." And so, Father, I just pray today, right now, over these precious ones, for the Lord would say, "Know that you will serve your way to greatness. But did I not say the greatest among you is the servant of all?" And who is the one that I would have regard for? He that has a humble, a yielded, surrendered heart, who trembles at my word, who reveres my word. And God says, "Know this day that there is a fast tracking There is a acceleration and quickening of my purposes, the quickening of my word, and many of the prophecies and promises that you've been standing in faith for this day. Know that the release, even now, the angels are being released right now on your behalf. And Pastor Rob, I just hear the Lord say that as you've been a protector, as you've been a guardian of the flame and a protector of the springs, and it's like you've been on one track, and that's the presence of God, the worship of God, and the revival of God. And I just saw a train just being released onto a new track. And I feel like God is saying many things are now going to be fast-tracked because you've stuck to the plan. You've stayed on track. You've stayed the course. And now the water is opening up everywhere. Just lift our hands once more. Father, I just thank you for these precious people. Thank you, Lord, that we want to be led by your voice. We want to hear that voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk you in it. We know that you're not some busy, distant father, but you have so much you want to talk to us about, that as we just tune into that frequency, that's not a ham radio, that you're there in our hearts, ready to speak to us as we turn our hearts and turn our attention, turn our eyes and become aware that you have many things you want to say to us. And we say, speak, Lord, for your servants are listening. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. I'm going to hand back to Pastor Rob right now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Well, thank you, Pastor Phailene. What a great lady this is. And I believe that her best days are in front of her too. I think the coalescence of what she's given. I was thinking, how many prophecies has she spoken in this church over the years? If she's been here, say 28, 29, I need to check the calendar. And she probably does 200 prophecies every time she comes. So it'd be 1,000 every 5 years. So it could be over that period of time she's coming, maybe she's spoken 5,000 prophecies, 8,000 prophecies. What an amazing thing. What an investment in our house. An investment in the lives of people. I encourage you, as she has shared this morning, hear the word of the Lord. And just if I could add to what she said, I did a course on hearing the word of God, and he said, get a page and write, start at the top of the page, my son, this is what the Lord would say unto you. And I started to do that, and I realized that as I began to do that, the word of the Lord began to flow on the page, and it was God speaking. So perhaps you can try that as well, apart from the other things Pastor Phailene has shared. Thank you so much for being with us. It's been such a blessing and an honour. And if it's 30 years next year, we're going to have a celebration. So plan on being a part of that. It's going to be exciting. So tonight, our divine encounter, I really encourage you to be here. Pastor Phailene is going to lead parts of that as well. And what she said, divine encounters, that's when we hear God. A surrender comes to our heart. Lord, I hear you, I'm going to respond. May that be true of your life. We've got to answer to God one day. And I want God to say to you, well done, good and faithful servant. That's part of my role as your pastor, to encourage you and lead you in that. So may God bless you. Why don't you stand? Let me close in prayer. Lord, I thank you this morning for the ministry Phailene to us. I pray that we catch it, it gets into our hearts, we might walk in it. I pray, Lord, as we step in our lives going forward, that the voice of the Lord becomes precious to us, that we are obedient children, that we will stop and listen and then obey and do what you call us to do and lead us. Father, set your hand of blessing on every life here today. Pray that they will walk forward with that sense of your love and your presence. And the Lord, we might be the truth that's being expressed in our society and to people round about us, that life might come forth from us, touching other people, that they might find the hope and the blessing that you bring to lives because you love people Now, God, this day we honor you in all things. Express our love for you, our delight in sharing with you, in Jesus' name. So I'm just going to get the worship team to do some worship for a few minutes. You feel free to go and have a cup of coffee, leave, whatever you've got to do. But if you'd like to just spend a few minutes in worship, just in the presence of God, then why don't you do that? Thank you.